bring a Christian greeting to each one of you here this morning in the name of Jesus. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here. I guess most of you, I don't know, I've met some of the youth. And yes, God has been good to us, was good to us, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship together. Like was said, I'm one of the many, many John Millers. Not sure how much I should go into that. My mom said when I was born she wanted a John, but there were already so many. So she decided she's going to have to give me a middle name, two names. Well, it always kind of, I don't know, just always kind of ticked me off because I have 9 siblings and none of them has a middle name. So there's quite a few names that go with John, like maybe John Andrew, John Wayne, John Allen, but the one my mom picked, I don't know. She named me after my grandpa. And I felt I loved my grandpa. He was an old order Amish man, and he was a born-again believer. We always enjoyed going to grandpa's, but his name and mine don't fit. They just don't fit. We could be here probably the bigger part of the day, and you couldn't guess it. My name's John Moses. It doesn't fit. Anyhow. It was mom's baby, so I guess she had the opportunity to make that choice. So over the years, I was born in northern Indiana, and as long as I was there, rather than the people calling me John Moses, they would call me John Moose. I didn't like that. When I turned 18, I became a Christian, and I needed to do my 2 years of voluntary service. So because of the conditions in northern Indiana, the way the youth were there, I decided it's best for me to just go someplace else. It was time of the Vietnam War. I needed to do my 2 years of 1W service. So I chose, with the blessing of the Selective Service Board, I chose to go to Central America. So I hopped a plane after I had my CO status and went to Costa Rica. It's the first time I was ever there. I didn't talk Spanish and I didn't know a single soul in that country. I worked at 2 different children's homes and that was a blessing. Learned to know Spanish. That was quite the ordeal, learning how to know Spanish. I had a real problem that I couldn't talk to those people. So after my job in the afternoon at the children's home, I would go out in the little village and I would stop the people and I would point to my nose and go. So they would say, nariz. So I wrote that down. And I had a little pocket Spanish-English dictionary and carried that with me. And then I'd go this way. Camisa. Camisa. That's how I learned Spanish. So, after living in Central America for 45 years, we came back exactly 8 years ago, and I lost most of my Pennsylvania Deutsch and a lot of English. So, I make some mistakes when I preach English. So this morning, if I make mistakes and you don't understand it right, I'll explain it to you in Spanish. My wife is here. Her name's Barbara. She is my second wife. My first wife and I, we were married for a little over 22 years. We had 8 children. I was pastor of the church, and she died of cancer. It was a very difficult time in my life, but God was faithful. So I was a widower for right at 2 years. And then Barbara came along and she wanted to get married. So I did too. And you married folks, if your girlfriend didn't want to get married, you're in trouble. So I hope all of your girlfriends wanted to get married. I'm sure they did. Alrighty. I would kind of like to do a children's class. Why don't all the children come over here? You want to do that? I want to teach you a song and have a story. Jesus, you may sit down there. Why don't you come over here? Yeah, you girls come over here. If you don't fit on the all on the front bench, you can sit on the. I don't think those boys will bite. Just come on over, and have a seat there, and we shall have a children's class. Jesus took a lot of time for the little children. He picked them up and he took them in his arms. So I think we should give special attention to children. When I was a little boy about your size, we had these benches that didn't have backs on. And right beside my dad was pretty big, and I would sit beside my dad, and then there was another man sitting over here. He was a big man, and there were big men in front and back. And I couldn't hardly see around, and they would talk in Pennsylvania Dutch. And we didn't understand a lot of that. They did some High German. We didn't understand a lot of that. And there we had to sit for 3 hours. And we couldn't see around. And so I thought, you know what? When I was ordained years ago, I decided, you know, we're going to have a special time for the children. Yeah. Children, we need to give the children attention. So we shall try and do that. I want to teach you a song. It's in English and in Spanish and in Pennsylvania Dutch. How many of you talk Spanish? None of you? How many of you talk Spanish? Somewhat. I thought maybe this brother does. You don't talk Spanish? Okay. All right, the song's real simple, and you can help me. And your parents can help too. It goes like this. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's do it again, and you help me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Okay, the same words in Spanish. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. La Biblia dice así. Ich bin froh, dass Jesus liebt mich, ich bin froh, dass Jesus liebt mich, ich bin froh, dass Jesus liebt mich, die Bibel sagt mich so. You can learn that, right? You taught Pennsylvania Dutch? You don't. But some of you do. Okay, if I don't forget, we'll sing it again after our children's lessons. Okay. We would like to talk about some of the marvels of God's creation. I like that verse that the younger ones had. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says that God made light. What are the lights that God made? Can you tell me about one? What? The stars? The sun? Yes. And the moon. Okay? The stars, the sun, and the moon. Did God make other lights? He didn't. Who made that one? Who? Did God make that light? Well, who did? Man made it. But how? God made the natural resources, and then man made that light. So you said God didn't make any other lights. Who made flashlights? Who made the lights on your car? Yes. God made the natural resources, and then man took those and he made lights and he put them on the car. So, did God make any other lights? Just sun, moon, and stars? Yes. What? Yes. What's the little creature called that you go out during the summer when it's dark and you see some lights? Yes. Okay. I never thought of that one. Yes. Fireflies. Yes. You go out during the summertime and there's fireflies out there. And they put a light on and off and on and off. You know what the girls do in Costa Rica with fireflies? They catch them, and what do they do with them? They put them where? In a jar. No, not the girls in Costa Rica. Huh. They break the light part off and put a whole bunch in their hair. That sounds like girls. Yeah. I took one of those fireflies, and I cut him right through in the middle. And I opened him up, and I looked for the switch where he puts his light on and off. It wasn't there. Or I couldn't find it. It's one of the marvels of God's creations. Yes. Well, that's the way God made them. And then they go on and off. It's a marvel of God's creation. So yes, we have the sun, moon, and stars, and fireflies. Did he make other lights? What? Did God make fire? Yes. Did God make... Sometimes when it rains... He made a rainbow and what else?
Lightning.
Yes. Lightning. Mm-hmm. There's a real interesting, do we have something to write on the board? Let's see if I can find it. Is there something to write on the board? In a drawer. Oh yes, here they are. Okay. God made a fish with lights. His name is All Mouth. He has a huge mouth. He looks like this. Whoa. Here's his eye. And here he has, this is his mouth. Here he has a fishbowl. He goes down at the bottom of the ocean. And he hides himself in the dirt or the mud. I'm not sure what's down there. All except his mouth and his fish pool. This little thing right here, it looks like a bug. But it's a light. And he also has a switch. And he makes this light go on and off. And there's other little fishies over here swimming. And they see that and they're hungry. And so they come swimming over here. And they're just ready to eat this little bug when this fish, with his big mouth, he just ate his breakfast. He swallows the other fish. Yeah, that's what he does. I'm not sure about this thing here. Anyhow, it's a marvel of God's creation. We also have in Costa Rica, the girls don't like it, but we have worms that are about this long and they're green and about this thick. Yeah, and they crawl on the plants. And if you touch them, they jump. And a light goes on his head. And you can put him on your book at night and you can read. Yes, God made lights. It's a marvel of God's creation. There's a lot of other things in Genesis chapter 1 where it talks about the creation that are very interesting. And a lot of these, it's a miracle how God made them. For example, the Bible says God made cattle. Do you have cattle here? And let me see, we're in Tennessee, right? Are there cattle in Tennessee? Not. Cattle are like cows. Do you have cows here? What color are the cows? You have a big black bull? Okay, that's interesting. Are there cows too? Are the cows black? Maybe the girls don't know. What color are the cows? Okay, brown and white. Okay. Okay, and what color is the dirt? Can't really see from here. What color is the dirt? Black. Brown. And you have grass. What color is the grass? The grass is green here? Okay. Okay. So we have black dirt and we have green grass. And here comes a brown cow and she eats that green grass. And then your dad gets a bucket and a little stool and he sits beside the car, the cow, and he milks the cow and the milk's green, right? Or brown. The milk is white. But that's a marvel. It's a brown cow. She eats green grass. She has white milk? Okay, yes. Yes, it's a marvel of God's creation. Interesting. Do y'all drink chocolate milk sometimes? What color is the cow that gives chocolate milk? A white? She's brown. He says white. What? Cows don't produce chocolate milk. Where does it come from? Where does chocolate come from? From cocoa beans. And where do they grow? Do you have some in your garden? Don't. Well, we have cocoa beans in Costa Rica behind our house. It's a tree. And here a little thing grows out of one of the branches and it gets about this long and this big around. First it's green and then as it ripens it gets brown. When it's brown, I take them and I twist it off. Comes off. Then I take something and I hit it and it splits open and it's full of little balls. They're brown. We lay those out in the sun and we dry them. And when they're real dry, then you grind them up and it's chocolate. Yes. And then you put that in the milk and you have chocolate milk. Yes. Cows don't give chocolate milk. Yeah, they give white milk. Do you drink milk? You like chocolate milk? Good, I do too. Yes. It's a marvel of God's creation. So the people in Costa Rica, they send the chocolate to the United States, and your mom goes to the store, or maybe daddy buys the groceries, so I don't know. And they buy some of this chocolate, and then you mix it and make chocolate milk. Interesting. Okay, it also says that God made birds. You have birds here in the United States? Yes. Birds are very interesting. Do you know what the bird is called? How many of you have been out to the ocean? You know, there's a bunch of birds. They kind of fly together as a group. And let's say this is the water right here. They fly about this high above the water. And they fly all over around over there and over here. And they come back again. Then all at once, a bunch of them go straight up. And they turn around and come right back down, and they crash right down into the water. What are those birds called? Yes. Oh, do the girls know? Let me draw something up here. Now, I'm not an artist. Let's say this is the head of that bird. This is the beak. And then this is the other beak, the lower beak. It's something like that. What are they called? What? They're called pelicans. Why did God make the beak like that? Didn't he have enough of natural resources? See, this beak, see how that beak is made? Didn't he have enough of whatever it took? So he just made them jagged like that. Why'd he make it like that? Yes. So he could catch fish. Yeah, well, they can catch fish. But they go, you know, what they're doing when they fly over the water is they're looking for fish. And when they see him, then they go straight up and turn around and come down and they catch a fish. But they keep their head and their beak down in the water for quite a while. And they just slowly bring it back out. Until their beak is out, and then they go like this, and they swallow the fish. But why did they bring it out so slow? Yes. So the fish don't jump out of their mouth. Well, not exactly. Maybe some of the bigger boys can tell us why they do that. Why do they keep their head and their beak down in the water so long and just bring it up out of the water real slow? You don't know? Do these bigger girls know? You don't know either. We're going to try the girls on this side. Why do they do that? Are you girls always this quiet? Okay, Eldon, you tell me. You don't know. Okay. God made this beak this way with a purpose. You know, he has a fish in here. He caught a fish, but he just brings his beak out real slow. Because in the ocean water has salt in it. And so, along with the fish that he got in, there's a bunch of salt water. And they don't like salt water. So he brings his beak out real slow, and that's why God made their beak this way. So all the salt water runs out. When all the salt water runs out, then he swallows his fish. Do you ever get a sore throat and your mom gives you salt water to gargle with? And you swallow the salt water? What do you do with it? Yeah, spit it out. That's what the fishes do. That's the way God made them that way. Interesting. Okay, birds. Well, let me see now. Is it already 20 after 11? God made birds. God made, do you have chickens in Tennessee? And they lay eggs? It doesn't lay eggs. Well, do you feed it? You have to give it feed. Yeah, and go out and pet it sometimes and talk to it. Okay. Yes, chickens lay eggs. How many of you like hard-boiled eggs? Yeah, I do too. They're good. Let me see. Eggs look something like this. So, you know, they have a shell, then they have the white part, and then right in the middle is the yellow part, the yolk. So you put a bunch of eggs in a little kettle thing with water, and I think you boil it 10 minutes. And then it's hard-boiled. You take it back out, and you cool it off a little, and then you take the shell off. And when you take the shell off, you notice something strange. Like right here, it looks like one of the boys took a bite out of it. Yeah, there's a piece missing. Didn't God have enough natural resources? He probably ran out of white. Had nothing left, so there's a little piece missing. Is that why? Why is that piece missing? Yes. What? Because the chickie was coming out? Well, you're on the right track. Yeah, you take the shell off and you notice that there's something missing here. So before you hard boil them, you know, the shell covers this like that. And you put, if you have a rooster with the chickens, then you take some of those eggs and you put them under the cluck. And I think it's 21 or 22 days later, you have a little chickie. Well, the chicken, it starts growing right here. Right in here. Now this thing don't want to. Anyhow, the little chickie starts growing right here and its beak is right there. Why do you think its beak is there at that place? What? Yes?
So we can get out.
Well, that's part of the story, but there's oxygen in there, like air. As the chickie grows, you know, it has to breathe, so it breathes from that oxygen that's right there. And it starts growing and growing, but the day comes when the oxygen is all gone. There's no more there. It comes up and it wants to, you know, pull back, but there's no air there. Then it becomes frantic. And its head goes back and it comes back up again. And its beak hits the shell here on the outside. It hits it right here and it breaks the shell. Then it can breathe from the outside. And about 2 days later, the shell breaks right in here, and that top part of the shell falls off, and we have a fluffy little chickie. Yes, it wasn't this boy that took a bite out of it. That's the way God made it. Yeah, interesting. Marvels of God's creation. There's so many more. It talks about creeping things. What do you think of creeping things? Well, what do you think about when you talk about creeping things? Yeah. Flies? I didn't know those were creepy. Worms are kind of. What do you think of when you think about something creepy? Bugs and snakes. And spiders. Well, spiders are kind of nice. We have big ones in Costa Rica. Yeah, but snakes, yes. We have snakes in Costa Rica. They're about from here over to the wall. They're not real big. They're this big around. You know what our boys do when they're back in the field, cleaning the field, and they find one of those snakes? You know what they do with them? Yes.
They pick them up?
They hang them on their neck.
They can squeeze
their neck. Yeah, they could. See, Anthony stands right here, and he holds its head, and he has it here. Then Caleb is over here, and it hangs around his neck, and he holds the tail. I wouldn't do that, but that's what boys do. Yeah, they're creepy. So, yes. Yeah. Did you ever read the books that Pablo writes? Yeah. I kind of grew up with Pablo. I know all those stories and the snakes that he had. He lets them crawl in his shirt here and they come out up here. Anyhow, here, one time I was in the barn and I heard Anthony, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, come real quick." So I went running. He was in the chicken house. I thought I knew why he was hollering at his dad. So I got a sharp machete and I run over into the chicken house, and sure enough, there was a huge snake. So I whacked it over the head and killed it. And I took a rope and I tied it around its neck and I drug it out in the lawn. And in the middle of its tummy, it had two big bumps. So I took the machete and cut it open. You know what was in there? Yes. Two chickens. They swallow them whole. Another time I was working back in the field and I was working along and I heard some. You know what sounds like that? A snake, yeah. So I looked, and sure enough, there it was. So I killed it. Then I cut a vine off of the tree. We have a lot of vines that grow about this big around. Cut it off from the tree, a long one, and I wrapped it around his neck and tied it. And I drug that snake all the way up to the house. I wanted my wife to see it. It had a big bump in its tummy. So I took it all the way up to the house, and then I took my knife and I cut its tummy open. Do you know what was in there? No, not a chicken. The chickens are all penned up in our pen. What do you think was in there? It was a possum. It had a tail this long. Can you imagine that tail going down your throat? Yuck, yes. God made creeping things. All right, it's late. Shall we sing our song again? I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. Soy feliz, Jesús me ama. La Biblia dice así. Ich bin froh, dass Jesus liebt mich. Yes, thank you for your attention. You may go back to your seats. Hope everybody had a good breakfast this morning. I'm not sure what all your youth told you after they came back from youth fellowship meetings. They probably told some of you that they were really hungry before John Miller quit preaching. I'll try and not go over time too long. For a text, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." We want to take that as our text. Let all things be done decently and in order. Then in the same chapter, verse 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Okay, so let's have this in mind as we go through our message this morning. Open your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Again, we want to talk about God and the creation, and we want to talk about Jesus. Notice what it says here in the first verse. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And the earth was, notice here, there were three things in chapter 2 that we want to take notice of. The earth was, number one, it was without form. There was a disorder. There was a void, number two. There was emptiness. It was empty. And number three, there was darkness upon the face of the deep. Now, our God that we have is the God of order, and He expects exactly the same of His people. We need to be orderly people. So what did God do here when He came on the scene, and there was a disorder, there was a void, and there was darkness? What did God do with that? God is a God of order. It goes on, the same verse, it goes on to say, notice what it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." What was the result of the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters? If you read the rest of the chapter, we see that God created a beautiful world. It's called cosmos. God created an orderly system out of disorder and void and darkness. A beautiful world that flows together with God. God is a God of order. And God, when He saw these three things, they had to go. Well, the darkness, He just put it in its place. But He created an orderly system. It's called cosmos. And He is asking us, as His people, He is asking us to live orderly and godly lives. Okay, Adam and Eve sinned. So, you know, before Adam and Eve sinned, there was order there. There was perfect peace. There was no sin. But they ate of that fruit that they were not supposed to eat. And the minute that they disobeyed God and ate of that fruit, the disorder and the void and the darkness came right back again. And it rests. If you allow me to tell you, it rests upon each one of us. What do we do with this disorder and the void and the darkness that we discover that we have in our nature? Allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. And like it was here, God created a beautiful world. If you have a disorder and a void and darkness in your life, allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. And God is going to make something beautiful out of it, just like He did the world. God is a God of order. We serve a God of order. For example, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not sure how all these things work, but we have the sun, and then we have a bunch of other planets. And am I right to say that the planets go around the sun in the opposite direction from the sun? Something like that. And do they ever collide? Do they ever wreck together? No. We have an orderly God. God created order. God is order. The ball that we live on, it's called what? The earth, yes. Okay. There's other planets out there with us, with these. And they go around. And in the book of Job, it tells us that God hung the world on what? What did He hang it on? What? A rope. Girls, can you help this young man? What did God hang the world? It tells us, it's real clear in the book of Job. What did He hang it on? You don't know? Okay, we will ask some of the bigger children back there. What did God hang it on? What? I'm hard of hearing. What did He hang it on? Faith. Oh, space. Okay, thanks. Well, that's not the answer that I want. That's not the answer that Job gives us. Eldon, you're going to have to tell these folks what God hung it on. Don't you know? Okay.
Nothing.
It says he hung it on nothing. Yes. And it doesn't fall down. It stays right there. It's an outer space. I guess that's where we're at. And as heavy as it is, and he hung it on nothing, and it just stays there. I think maybe it goes around at night. Is that the way it is? Something like that. Anyhow, isn't there a time when we're at the bottom? I'm not sure how that is. Do you fall out of bed at night? Well, I do sometimes. Last night, it's interesting. It was interesting when we got to bed. We're staying at, I forget his name. Anyhow, Eldon's parents. And I crawled into bed and I told my wife, wow, this bed is pretty high. And she said, well, you be careful that you don't fall out, because I do sometimes. I have these dreams or a nightmare or something. And I had the idea recently that my sister was after me. And I wanted to get away from her, and a kaplunk. Down beside the bed I went. Yes. So God is a God of order. He created the world and the globe where we're at, and he hung it on nothing. It stays right there. We serve an orderly God. In Costa Rica, it rains a lot. We get between 140 and 160 inches of rain a year. It rains and rains and rains. It's the greenest country in the world. It's nicer than Tennessee and Texas. It rains a lot. So we have lots of rain. Within a space of maybe 3 hours, we can easily get 12 inches of rain. And so the water runs down the hill and it goes into the creek. And the creek rises, a bunch of water in there. And then it goes over and goes into the river. And, you know, rivers have a lot of little creeks. And they, wow, those rivers really rise up. And it goes into the ocean, and the ocean overflows, right? Does it? You're not sure? Does the ocean overflow? What happens with it? You don't know? It evaporates, yes. It evaporates and it goes back up and it gets cleansed and it comes back down again. We serve a God of order. Yes, it's an orderly system that flows with God. God is a God of order. Let all things be done decently in order. Did you ever wonder why there's so many lions and tigers in Africa? Do you know? Yes. They keep the ecosystem balanced. They eat the buffaloes and the deer. Did you ever wonder why God made cats? You have an idea why God made cats? So the ladies don't scream when they see a mouse. Yes, that's why God made cats, to eat rodents. We serve a wonderful God. He, out of this disorder and the void and the darkness, God created something beautiful. It flows together with God. It's a wonderful creation that God made. Okay, we must move on. Jesus, the Son of God, was also and is a good example for all of us when it comes to order. Do you remember the day when the Bible says that Jesus was teaching all day along with his disciples, and there was a big multitude of people there, and Jesus was teaching these people, and during his time of teaching, somebody came and told Jesus that they cut the head of John the Baptist. Jesus and John the Baptist, I think, were cousins. When Jesus heard that, he was already tired from teaching, didn't have time to eat, and So they came and gave him that news that John the Baptist's head was cut off. So he told the disciples, let us come apart for a time and rest a while. So they got into the boat and they went over across the little lake or whatever it was, and they wanted to rest. Jesus wanted to be by himself and rest and pray. And when he got over there, what did he find but this big multitude of people? They had beat him over there. Then the disciples said to Jesus, send them away. Tell them to go home. We're tired. We haven't had time to eat, and you wanted to rest a while. What did Jesus tell them? Anybody? Jesus told the disciples, give ye them to eat. And they were like, really, Jesus? We didn't have time to eat yet. We're hungry. You're tired. And you're telling us to give food to these people? 200 pennyworth wouldn't be enough to buy all the food that we need for these multitude of people. It's just not enough. But that's what Jesus said. He said, give ye them to eat. Now, I'm not sure of just all the details and how everything was here, but Jesus knew there was a little boy sitting over there. So I think he sent one of the disciples over there, and he came over to this little boy, and he said, hey, sonny, what do you have in that bag? What do you think he said? What do you think the little boy told him? He said, well, it's my lunch. Mommy packed my lunch. And there were two fish in there and five pieces of bread. Now, I'm adding a little bit to this, and he probably said, well, son, can you give me that, those two fish and that bread? Well, but my tummy is already growling. But yeah, if you need it, here it is. And he gave it. Well, that was very kind of the little boy. He gave everything that he had. So he took it over to Jesus and gave it to Jesus. And then Jesus told the disciples that they should put 50 people here and 100 over here and maybe 200 there and 400. However that was, Jesus was an orderly man. And he did that so they could feed all these people in just a short order of time. He was a good example for the Mennonites. If you go to a Mennonite wedding, sometimes you have to wait 45 minutes after prayer till finally you get a drink of water. We need to establish more order. Yes. So, okay, the disciples then took this food and the fish and the bread after Jesus had blessed it. And it says that there were, I think, 5,000 men, and they all ate. Just 5,000 men, without counting the women and the children. If most of their wives were along, and if they had 10 children like we do, can you imagine how many people were there? And it says all of them ate, and they had enough, and there was food left over. So what do you do with leftover food? Well, you put it in the garbage, in the trash. That's what Jesus did with his, right? A lot of Mennonites do. You know, their eyes are bigger than their tummy. And they take too much food, and then they can't eat it all. Away it goes into the trash can. That didn't work when I was growing up. If I couldn't eat all my food, and we didn't have electric refrigerators, we didn't have electricity, period. We had ice boxes, and they weren't very cold. But if I couldn't eat all my food, Mom would stick it in the ice box, and you know what I got for lunch? That food that I couldn't eat. You learn pretty quick if that happens. What did Jesus do with what was left over? Can you tell me? He gathered it up. And what do you think he did with it? I don't think the Bible says, but do you have an idea?
He
I think probably he gave it to some families that had quite a few children, and there were probably some widow ladies there, so he gave them some of it. Yes, he didn't waste anything. Jesus was an orderly man. Going on, talking about Jesus, you know, later on they killed Jesus, they crucified him, and the third day, well, after he had died, then they took him down from the cross and they put him in a grave, and he sealed the grave. And 3 days later, I think it was on a Sunday morning, Jesus arose. Nobody even took the stone away. He just got out. And so the news spread that he arose from the grave. And so it was two of the disciples, was it Peter and John, that went running over there after they had been told about that? And they came and they looked in there, and what did they see? Anybody? What? An angel? What else did they see? Yes. They had the custom of when somebody died, they would like a cloth or like a sheet, they would wrap it around the dead body. And then for the head, it was a different one. They called it a napkin. And when they looked in there, this sheet that had been around his body was laid over there, and the napkin was folded and laid separate. If you don't hear your alarm clock, young man, and your mom comes in and says, "Sonny, didn't you hear your alarm clock? It's time to go to school." So you quick jump out of bed, and where does the blanket land up at? On the floor. Jesus had his folded together and laid at a separate place. So you learn from that. You save your mom and your sisters some work if you fix your bed. Yes, Jesus was an orderly man. We need to be orderly. Okay, I'm going to try and be finished at 12 o'clock. I'm not quite half finished, but that's okay. So, generally speaking, when we become born again, there is an order in our lives. God works miracles in our lives. But I discovered after I became a Christian that there were details that needed to be worked with. Have you ever experienced anything like that? You know, but the Bible does also tell us that a man that is becomes a Christian is a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But it's a process that we go through. That was my experience. I discovered that there's details that need to be worked at. We need to order our steps, the Bible tells us. I think we came across that verse this morning. Maybe it was in the Sunday school. And in the book of Job, it says, order your words. And in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, the prophet came and talked to Hezekiah, I think it was, and he said, set your house in order. Now, he was talking about his life, but I want to apply it as our house where we live. Okay, set your words in order. You know, the Bible tells us that we are not supposed to use bad words. We're not supposed to use curse words, and I trust you don't. But I have discovered that the Mennonites have a whole bunch of words that they use that they shouldn't. Did you ever hear that? Yeah. For example, we have the youth boys, they have a gathering of some kind, and they're sitting there in the yard, and here comes the neighbor man, and he has a brand new Ford truck. And we say, hot dog, that's a pretty one. What does a hot dog have to do with a Ford truck? Oh, we say Jiminy Christmas. I thought we weren't supposed to do that. And in the last number of years, I'm not sure if y'all do this or not, but I detest it. We meet each other during the week and we bump our hands like this and we say, "What's up, dude?" Really? Are we dudes? I didn't think I was. And then the answer to that is, cool, why don't we go hang out? I thought we were brethren. We wouldn't think of calling each other a dude in Costa Rica. Even during the week, we call each other brothers and sisters. We meet them on the road during the week and we say, "How are you doing, brother? How are things going for you?" And here in this land, we call each other dudes or guys. Until one of the young men or one of the sisters, she decides she's going to do voluntary service for a year in Africa. And so you have a little church, like a periodical or whatever you call it, where you have church news in and so forth. So let's say Eldon, he's going to go to Africa for 2 years. So we put in there in that little paper that Brother Eldon is going to serve on the mission field in Africa for 2 years. Well, that sounds exactly right, but during the week, all he is here at home is a dude. But when he goes on the mission field, then he's a brother. Really? Let all things be done decently in order. I have a lot of people come up to me and they ask me, "How many kids do you have?" Well, I tell them I don't have any. I'm not a goat. We don't have kids. We have children. Ordain your words. What are your words? The Bible tells me that we will give an account for every idle word that we say. So may God help us. We need to be orderly people. We need to have order in our homes. You know, the prophet told Hezekiah, set your house in order. He was talking about his life, which he was sick, and then he extended his life, I think it was 15 years and so forth. But our homes, we need to have order in our homes. Who's responsible for that order? Can any of you young boys tell me? Who's responsible to see that there's order in the home? If you don't know, you're far from ready for courtship. And young ladies, if one of these young, good-looking men comes and asks you for his friendship, for your friendship, make sure he knows who's supposed to be the head. Because if he doesn't, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up wearing the pants. That's just the way it works. You need to fill your responsibility. Okay, coming back to order in the home. As husbands, we are responsible to see that there is a schedule. Example, we get up at, just for an example, we get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then breakfast is ready by maybe 6:30 or 7. We need to have a schedule. And I'm one of those old-fashioned men that think we should sit down at the table to eat 3 times a day with our family. Yes, 3. For breakfast and for lunch and supper. Okay. And we need to have order at our table. We didn't always. My parents were always in a hurry. Always. And so we would sit down at the table to eat. And we had silent prayer. And after we were finished praying, you know what Dad told us? There's one lady back here that's heard me say this before. After we were finished praying, Dad and Mom were always in a hurry. Then Dad would say, Buva shavlets nai me and avit for do. Shove it in, boys, we got work to do. And we did. My brother was sitting on one side of the table and I was on the other, and there was a hamburger plate there, a plate with a bunch of hamburgers on. He got a hold of it and so did I. You know what happened? We didn't have a lot of order. There needs to be order when we sit down to eat. When we sit down with our families, should be a very precious time, good times. We're eating good food and we're just having a good time. It needs to be orderly. So when you pass the potatoes this way and you pass the meat this way, what happens when it meets? It wrecks. They need to all go around the same way. And when the cake comes around, be sure and take your scraps. Yes. Don't leave your scraps for your sister. Take them. Orderly. Okay. There's a lot of places or things like that in the family life where we need to be orderly people. Did you ever, maybe some of you mothers heard it this morning, when it was time to go to church, one of your little boys said, well, Mama, I can only find one black sock, the other one's green. Then what did you tell him? Well, go look through that pile that's in the dining room and see if you can find the other one. Jesus had his linens here and the napkin was folded over here. And you have clothes in the dining room? And your son's supposed to go look for his black socks there? They should be in his drawer, all neatly in there. Orderly. We need to be orderly people. That's what God says. Let all things be done decently and in order. In church, we need to have order in church. And this is interesting. Do you know what MR, how is it now? MRH stands for? It stands for Mennonite Rush Hour. Here, some time ago, we visited a church. I had met this man that they lived like 2 hours from where we live, and got to know him pretty good. His name's Ernest, and I said, Ernest, may we come visit your church sometime? He said, well, sure, John, you're welcome. So, okay, we went, we got some directions, and I think maybe we were following somebody. And here we come to the place. And there was a church house on the left side of the road, and there was one on the right side of the road. And I told my wife, which is the Mennonite church house? And we looked a little. I said, it has to be that one. It's 5 till, and there's nobody here yet. The Baptists were all there already. Mennonite rush hour. We come the last 5 minutes. Yeah, we get up too late. I like when we can all be at church house when it's time to start. And when we sing, we just all, yes, we sing. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's sing. Let's put our efforts into it. Even if you don't know the notes, the Bible doesn't say anything about the notes. I'm not sure I can carry much of a tune. And I remember time and time again, when we were walking home from church in Costa Rica, my daughters would say, Daddy, you were way off tune again. Well, the Bible says to make a joyful noise. So then we decided that we're going to come to the United States and live there. Well, our children thought we should. We have some children living in Texas, and they thought we're old and we should live by them. They told us that they obeyed us when they were little, and now it's our turn. So we moved to Texas. And I think it was the second Sunday that we were in church in Texas, I just sang like we always did in Costa Rica. And after church, a boy about this big came up and stood beside me, and he said, John, you sing way too loud. I mean, really? Let's give it to it. Yeah, let's really sing when we're, yes. We need to be orderly people. Okay, there's a few more things, but it's just about 12 o'clock. So shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness. You've been so good to us. We thank you for your love. We're not worthy of that unconditional love. But we want to humbly say thank you as we bow our hearts. We don't deserve it, and yet we're grateful. Bless each one present here this morning. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping together. We thank you for your word, the direction that it gives us. Help us to follow it. Bless us then as we part from here. We commit ourselves to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.